Good morning.
Good morning.
Our call to worship this morning is going to be sandwiched between the same music, This Is My Father's World. So welcome as we celebrate God and celebrate the world he has given us. Just a few announcements for this week. In particular, we're holding our quarterly business meeting today, and would, if you're available to stay, would really appreciate that. So we have a quorum. We have a couple of, well, really one piece of business that we'd like to get done today, in particular. So there's that. And then this afternoon, if you're available at 2 o'clock, some of us will be gathering at Waterview Pines for the nursing home services that we help conduct, and today is our turn. On Tuesday, the women will be meeting at Little Gourmet Deli for their ladies' lunch, their monthly lunch. They had a little vacation in July, so it'll be good to be back together again, I'm sure. Council will be meeting August 9th, and then next week when we gather again, Pastor Randy Swenson will be here and we will be sharing communion together. So if you would stand for the call to worship, please. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Sing to him, sing praise to him.
Tell of all his wonderful acts.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Remain standing and turn to hymn number 57, This Is My Father's World. As your spirit hovered over creation in fresh wind and in new breath, so let your spirit blow over us today with the breath of life. Take away the chaos of our lives and the tiredness of our souls. May the spirit move within us here today and then move us outward to proclaim your faith in the world, to proclaim your faith in word and deed. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
morning. The first reading today is Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, and that's in Pew Bible page 862. And Paul has been just talking about the whole creation groaning as we await the redemption of both creation and our bodies. And then he continues with that. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and groans. Intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The second reading is in the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is telling some parables, and this will be a collection of five parables. Chapter 13, starting in verse 31, goes through verse 33 and then skips down to 44 through 52, and it's on page 748 of your Pew Bible. Matthew 13:31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in his branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all the dough. And then down to verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. May God bless the reading of his word.
So much food for thought in those parables. The examples that Jesus shared helped them and helped us understand what some of his plans were and what some of our responsibilities are. This morning, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, listen to these words, please. Lord, we bring before you the common things of our common life, our money, our songs, our labors to be your faithful congregation, our needs and dreams, our joys and sorrows, ourselves. We celebrate all of this with you, seeking the touch of your Spirit so that we will share more deeply what we are and what we have with our brothers and sisters in the city and in our world. In faith and gratitude, we offer common things made miracles by your grace. Amen. The ushers will come forward. Stand for the doxology, please. Join me in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for those gathered this morning to worship you. We thank you that they have not forsaken the gathering together, something that you called for in your scripture, something that Jesus reminded his followers of. that they needed to gather together, they were stronger together, and they would support one another together. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would have your hand on the individuals in our community that keep us safe. We know that their job is thankless sometimes, dangerous sometimes, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with them, including our police officers, Lord, our first responders, our fire department, our sheriff's department, our healthcare workers, all of them, Lord, do us a service and keep us protected and safe, and they need your support. Thank you, Lord, for the people in our congregation that are willing to serve on our council, that are conducting business and taking care of your work in spite of the fact that we are without a pastor at this time. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that our pulpit has been filled every Sunday. You are providing people to us, Lord, that are bringing pertinent and timely sermons, and we appreciate that. But we also know, Lord, that a shepherd is what a church needs, and we are praying for that and praying that as you prepare someone for us, you prepare us for that person. And we thank you for that, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the guidance that you provide and the love and support that you provide as we make decisions. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us at the business meeting today. In our world, Lord, so much is going on, so much unrest, so many natural disasters, and Lord, people are suffering. Please bring individuals to them to provide assistance, and please show us if there's a way that we can assist. And we would appreciate that, Lord, because we want to love your people. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we continue our worship this morning, that you would bring, you would provide attention, you would keep our hearts and minds focused so that we hear what you have to say for us. Dear Lord, we believe that you established the church and you will preserve and protect it. As a corporate reflection of God's presence among us, providing a foretaste of our glorious hope, we believe that Jesus Christ is the head of that church and died and came alive in true resurrection, even as we die to sin and live to eternal life. In baptism into Christ's body, we believe that the Holy Spirit breathed fire and life into the church at Pentecost and still provides redeeming power for its preservation and ministry. We believe in the fellowship of all saints who have responded in faith to Jesus Christ and who affirm loyalty to God above all else in life and death. We believe each member is called to live faithfully as Jesus lived by loving and serving others, demonstrating the new creation in Christ. We believe the church is a community of disciples using gifts freely and wisely for the common good of the body, and to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ until he comes again. May we always consider our choices and how we live our life in the light of what would be your will and what would serve our neighbors, for neighbor's good and God's glory should be our purpose. In your name we pray, amen. Turn to hymn number 525, Wonderful Words of Life.
Wonderful words of life.
morning we have Nathan Thompson with us, and welcome to his wife as well. And he will be sharing from God's Word, but I also hope a brief update from Habitat as well.
Thank you, Julie, and it is a privilege to be here and to have the opportunity to worship with you and minister with you and have just a chance to be able to share God's Word with you as well. Yes, as Julie said, I'm still involved in Habitat. A couple of fun things. So this is just a week or so ago, I celebrated my 20th anniversary at Habitat, which was kind of fun. My staff threw me a little surprise party. And you guys have been a part of that journey all of these years as well. I see a lot of our wonderful friends, Habitat friends, and know that you guys are a great congregation that is involved in the work that we do. So thank you. You know, I did the math. I still have at least another 20 years that I can invest in Habitat's ministry. I'm not going anywhere. I love the work that God has given me to do there. And as you guys know, a lot of people don't realize that Habitat for Humanity is an ecumenical Christian housing ministry. We display God's love to a family in need by helping them with the most basic things in life, and that being one of those is shelter. So we partner with our families, we help them through the process of building and then affordably buying a home. And a lot of times that's a life-changing event for them. They're in a home that is energy efficient and easy to maintain. It's affordable, it's comfortable. And as you guys know, there is a lot of substandard housing around for low-income families these days. And so one by one, little by little, we continue to help families into homes. So at the end of this year, it'll be 116 families that we've been able to give home ownership opportunities since we were founded in 1995. Currently, we are building three homes in Eveleth, West Eveleth to be specific. They're all on adjoining lots. So the concrete got poured this last week on the final two foundations there. So we've got our work cut out for us in Eveleth. We will also be partnering with the Hibbing High School to work with them to build a house in Hibbing. And then in there somewhere, there's the possibility, well, we got at least one, what we call a rehab or a recycle project taking off. And there could be more because God is continuing to provide some opportunities. At least we'll get them started and get them on the planning book. I think for sure we have the capacity to do five. But God continues to bless the Habitat ministry, and you guys, your support, your prayers is definitely in partnership, is a part of what we, what is keeping us building. If any of you would like, we do have some opportunities at Habitat. We're going to be needing in the next 2 or 3 weeks some meals for volunteers. So get a hold of me or send us an email at Habitat if you'd like to provide a meal for volunteers, or if you'd like to put a small group together. And by a small group, I am meaning one person. How's that sound? So you could be a small group. the next three weeks, actually, we'll be working every day in Eveleth, and I can add 1 to 6, 7 people to the groups that we have coming, because they're smaller, to make a little bit larger group. So if you'd like to invest some time, please let me know, and we'll get you the details for that as well. I bring greetings to you all from my fellow congregation and body of believers, the Evangelical Free Church of Embarrass. It is where we are part of Christ's local body there. It is also nice to see that Christ's body is alive and well right here. And the The thing that connects us together is our relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit, which indwells us. And so that is why I can come and feel very comfortable with my family here at the First Covenant Church in Virginia. That kinship is always felt, is always seen. I've had the privilege, as I've traveled around the country and Mexico, of seeing that kinship and feeling that kinship. And that's a beautiful thing. I am thankful for that this morning. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to translate for some fellow ministers over in Aurora who had a group from Honduras stop in on a Sunday. So there's like a, what would you say, like a worker, contractor, hotel quarters in Aurora. And so a lot of times workers that come up here from Honduras that do tree planting and brush cutting, that kind of thing, they're in these groups. They have a van and can be 10 or 12 guys in a van. Well, three or four of them came to church and my son-in-law's church in Aurora. And they wanted to just be able to get together and visit with them. So another thing that sometimes people don't realize about me, I am a missionary's kid. So my grandparents were missionaries in Central America. My parents were missionaries in Central America, Mexico, and Texas. And so I grew up as a missionary's kid and in bilingual. I don't get to use that skill every day. But somehow God continues to give me the words to, my brain still just switches over into Spanish. And so I was able to translate for them to, you know, get the, you know, the American Christians and ministers and then these folks from Honduras. And as part of our exercise that evening, they gave their testimonies, and I was able to translate that back and forth. And it was just a beautiful thing. Like, here are these people from Honduras, and you know what? They know Jesus, the same Jesus that I know. They have the same Holy Spirit. It's just that family and kinship that God has given us through His Son. And we have the same Word of God, the same faith. It was a beautiful thing to see. As a missionary's kid, I grew up in, and I tell people too, with Habitat's ministry, I tell people often we're an ecumenical Christian housing ministry, so if you can't do it in church, you shouldn't be doing it at my office or on my bill site. And then I describe, you know, like, hey, it's a bill site, we're all using nails and hammers, and I, fortunately, because of the way in which God allowed me to be raised, when I hit my... It's happened a few times. My thumb with the hammer. I go, ouch! That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Now, not everybody's been raised that way, so when I tell people, if you can't do it or say it in a church, you can't do it or say it on my bill site. And I say, you know, I mean, hey, if you hit your nail or your finger with a hammer, and something other than ouch comes out of your mind, I will also forgive you and extend some grace and mercy. But you know, get back to the rule. It's very important. What comes out of our mouth, I think, is something that really has bearing on our person, our character, and it really does affect those around us. From an early age, I was given scriptures to memorize by my dad, who is now in heaven. But he ministered for many, many years as a missionary. One of my memory verses, and can you imagine, like I'm talking 11, 12, 13. This was one of my scripture verses. And it wasn't that I just memorized it once and forgot it. But, you know, I got quizzed regularly on the verses that I was supposed to know, which was a good thing. But Matthew 12, 36. It says, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment." How's that for a little kid? Like, be careful what you say, right? You know, the whole little monkey thing, and there's a Sunday school song of be careful little ears, little eyes, little mouth, what you say and hear and see. Every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. Well, that is... pretty sobering. Like, the things that come out of my mouth are important, and God hears them. And I will give an account for the things that I say. We're going to be talking today about the concept of how we are to speak to one another. And you guys, as you're looking for a pastor and you're looking for that shepherd and that leader, you are also responsible for each other as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you have the opportunity to minister to one another. And I see that you're doing that. You know, you don't need a pastor to do that. You all can minister to one another as well. But a pastor would be nice. We need shepherds as well. You know, everything from caring for one another, forgiving one another, bearing one another's burdens, praying for one another. We're going to be looking at the concept of speaking to one another today. I mentioned my grandfather is a missionary in Central America, and he and my grandmother grew up in the era of the Great Depression. They picked cotton on the West Texas plains. Right after the Great Depression, right after the war was over, World War II, they figured out how to become missionaries and go to Central America. My grandfather and grandmother were very instrumental in starting the Nicaraguan Bible Institute that is still there today. And so we have a great heritage of Christian ministry. My grandfather told the story, so I think it'll be okay to tell it to you today. He has a very dry sense of humor. I think that's where I got some of mine. And he would tell these little stories. And I think, so this is one about how we should speak to one another, the importance of every word that we say. So imagine, you know, Great Depression time, the one-room schoolhouses, the community get together on a Friday or Saturday night. They were going to have the community dance and the pie social. And so they put the chairs to the side and they had the room open. And ladies and gentlemen came dressed in their Sunday best for the dance. And a gentleman went to this event and he didn't want to go, but his friends and family really convinced him because he was a little self-conscious to go. He was a little self-conscious because he had had an accident and he had lost an eye, and the doctors fitted him with a wooden eye. And that was, you know, he's a little self-conscious about it. He'd look in the mirror and he'd be like, well, I don't look totally normal. But finally they convinced him, you know, you should go. Maybe you'll meet someone and it'll be fun. So he thought to himself, well, surely no young lady will ever want to dance with me or have anything to do with me. But he kind of stood on the sideline of the room for most of the evening, self-conscious. He didn't want to ask anyone to dance until finally he looked across the room and there was another woman who was a little self-conscious and kind of doing the same thing. And he noticed that she had a little bit of a defect as well. She had a little bit of what they called back in the day a hair lip. So he was like, well, maybe this is, we could get together. This, we'd be, maybe she wouldn't mind dancing with the guy with a wooden eye. So he finally worked up the courage. It was like the last dance of the evening. And he walked up to her and he said, would you like to dance? And she got all happy and smiled and brightened up and said, wouldn't I? And he was like, hair lip. Oh, I'm sorry. But the moral, I guess, of the story is, like, you can be misunderstood. The things that you say can come off wrong. And you have to be careful about that. You know, when you think about it, and God tells us, like, you know, he listens to what we say. Where are our kiddos over there? God listens to all the words that you say. So you want to say good things. That's what I was told when I was growing up, but it can be a challenge. We know that speaking to one another can be a challenge in every setting that we have, and it's no different in the congregation and with our family in Christ. How we communicate, what we communicate, when we communicate, Why we communicate to each other has real impacts on the body of Christ. It can either build you up in the church or in your life, or it can tear you down. It's a very important thing. You guys are familiar with the passage in James. It talks about the tongue and all of the stresses and pressures of the tongue. James says we stumble in many ways, you know, and he talks about how, you know, the horse you can put a bridle in his mouth and control a big horse. The ship, you can put a little rudder on the end and turn the ship in the stormy seas. But with the tongue, it is a lot more of a challenge. James chapter 3, verse 7 says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praises and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. How do we control the tongue, that unruly fire that can spark disaster? Or it can also build you up. That is the challenge that we're talking about this morning. When you see the power of the tongue, it really is and can be a scary thing. You'd almost prefer just not to use it. That's the end of my message. You know, it's like, I could say something wrong. I don't want to say anything, but that doesn't work either. Like, how could I build you up? We need some help. We need to figure out how to communicate with each other. And the scriptures give us some of that instruction, which is very important. I'd like for us to consider some principles this morning then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. It's kind of the passage that we'll be looking at there. It'll help us in most of our basic functions as a congregation and as a family in Christ as we speak to one another. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 8 and kind of read through the passage here then. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. By the way, pleasing to the Lord was another thing that was drilled into me as a young child. I'd ask, Dad, can I go see that movie with my friends? And he would say, do you think it would please the Lord, son? And I would just walk away. It's like, well, probably not. Not that one. That concept of God has saved us, has given us everything. Our desire as a child of God then should be to please our Heavenly Father. Verse 10, trying to learn then what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything becomes visible in the light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but wise. You could replace walk there with speak if you wanted to. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. speaking to one another. There are some principles that I would like to draw out here about how we are to speak to one another. Four basic principles. I'll kind of run you through them so you see my outline. The first one is our speech should be filled with the Spirit. Our speech should be filled with the Spirit. What is controlling that unruly thing in our mouths? I also have a little 9-month-old granddaughter, so I'm always like, la, 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 la. She makes the noises back to me too. It's really great. How do we control that tongue? It should be our speech should be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see what that means. And that we see that in verse 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Second of all, our speech should be filled with song and scripture. We see that here in verse 19 as we're kind of looking in that passage, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So our speech should also be filled with song and scripture. As we move down the list, our speech needs to also be filled with celebration. And if you're spelling challenged like me, you would spell celebration with an S. I don't know why they put a C in it. I don't know what the rules of spelling are, but it should be an S. I like to alliterate. So our speech should be filled with celebration. You can spell it with a C if you have to. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So giving thanks. Our speech should be filled with celebration. Thanks to God. And then lastly, you have this little verse on verse 21 here. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Our speech should be filled with submission. That's how we talk to one another. And we'll talk about what does that mean. But first of all, we see that our speech should be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:13 through 17 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." A lot of times we bite and devour one another and tear each other down with the words that we say. Verse 16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the fleshly desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." We have the Spirit of God within us. We also have a sinful nature that battles against each other. I had a parable told to me, and it was in Mexico when I was a kid there as a missionary's child. So I don't know if it was specific to Mexico or if it's just a parable that's around. But the story goes there was a fellow that had two dogs. He had them chained up in his yard, a white dog and a black dog. And they were always like, rawr, trying to get at each other to tear each other apart. But the chain was just far enough that they couldn't get to each other. And then one day, though, the chain of one of the dogs broke. And then they asked me as a kid, which dog do you think won the fight, survived? And I was like, I don't know. How do you figure that out? They were both big dogs. They were both vicious. They went after each other. Which dog do you think won? He said. And finally, after I came up with several wrong ideas, the fellow said, the dog that won was the one that the master fed the most. It's the strongest dog. So when you think of what we do in our life, are we feeding the flesh and a sinful nature, or are we living by the Spirit and living off of the Word of God and feeding that and growing closer and more to be like Christ? The thought of being filled with the Holy Spirit in our speech, and we talked about how unruly that tongue can be and how difficult it is, right? Well, we get to this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This kind of has this idea of speaking to one another in it, but it starts out with, "Do not get drunk with wine, for it is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit," speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean for our speech to be filled with the Spirit? Let me give you an example of what being filled with the Spirit. And I loved it as I came here. Let's see, does this work? Yeah, it does. As I saw here this morning, be filled with the Spirit. So you guys are reminded that of that every week. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, one example I can give you, when I was in college, I went to college in Kansas City. We still lived in South Texas. I packed up my suitcase because I was flying back to college for some reason that time. And, you know, we had those old Masonite, you guys know the big suitcases. And I had the thing stuffed. I had to sit on it and zip it. It was a hard case. It didn't, you know, it wouldn't like expand like the fancy ones today. I sat on it. I got it zipped shut. I was like, oof, looks like I can take my stuff to college. And then right about then, my sister walks in the room and she was like, "Nathan, when I was up there at your college a while back and it was winter, someone loaned me their winter jacket. And can you take it back with you to give to," it might have even been Sarah, I don't know who it was. It probably was. Can you take my winter jacket?" And I was like, "No, I can't." And she was like, "Well, why can't you?" And I was like, "Because my suitcase is what? Full. There is no room for your jacket." And she didn't believe me. And I was like, "It's full. I can't stuff another thing in there. And I'm not going to take this pink jacket with me, you know, on the plane." But that's the idea of being filled with the Spirit. If you are filled with the Spirit, there's no room for the other stuff. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is simply the concept of being controlled by the Spirit. You are not being controlled by anything else, but being led by God's Spirit in what you say and do. If indeed you are walking in the light and are being controlled by God's Holy Spirit. So that is the idea, is you are filled with the Spirit. Now, how do I get that from this verse here? Verse 18, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit." When you are drunk with wine, what's controlling you? The alcohol. So it's that same concept. So don't let the alcohol control you, because it will if you have too much, but be filled with the Spirit. So let the Spirit have full control over your life. Our speech should be filled with the Spirit. Can you imagine then the things that I say and do when I'm talking to you, or what God would want me to say and do when I'm talking to you and interacting with you? Well, that's a recipe for building each other up, is it not? It really gives you that idea of being able to benefit. One of the advantages of being Spirit-filled in your speech is you would be filled with boldness. Who here loves conflict? I don't like conflict. And I'm the executive director of now a fairly good-sized nonprofit, and I have to deal with conflict every once in a while, but it is not my favorite thing. I don't like it. It takes a lot of energy. I don't like it. One time I had we'd sent out a big fundraising letter. You guys have probably helped me fold a few of those. It went out, and then we get crazy phone calls after we do that sometimes. And some fellow called when I wasn't there, and he left a voicemail that it said, "If I ever send him another letter, he will come blow out all my windows at the office." Well, that was kind of threatening. I didn't know, you know, I was like, should I just ignore it? I had other people working with me in the office, so I was like, well, that sounds kind of bad. So I called the Virginia PD. And I think she's the chief of police now, but she was just one of the officers then. came to my office, and she listened to it, and she was like, yep, that's pretty bad. He shouldn't say things like that. And I'm like, should I file a complaint? She goes, well, you can file a complaint, but, you know, he'd have to do it two or three more times and all this complicated stuff that I didn't want to get into. And then she got a big smile on her face, and she goes, or you can give me his phone number and let me call him for you. Like, she got all happy about that. Like, I would not have been happy about that. Like, I was like, sure. So I never heard from the guy again. I can just imagine. But she just loved that. Like, that's how God has gifted law enforcement officers to deal with that conflict. Well, a lot of times we have to deal with difficult things when we speak. It could be a conflict. It could be just the scary part of, like, you know what? God's been leading me to share the gospel with my neighbor or a friend or a family member, and that's scary. It's like, how do I do that? If you're filled with the Spirit also gives you boldness, guides you and gives you the strength to do that. Just an example, if you're taking notes, Acts chapter 4 was the first instance of the church being persecuted, and they were told to not speak anymore in the name of Christ, and Peter said, no, we're going to do it anyway. And they went back and they told the believers who were at the house church, and it said they prayed and they were filled with the Spirit and they were given boldness. You know what? Even I can speak about Jesus even when it's hard or scary because I am being fed and or led by God's Holy Spirit. Being straightforward and unafraid with the truth. Sometimes when we're speaking to each other, even in our congregation, there may be things that that are difficult to talk about. Like, you know, maybe you did something that was that hurt me or whatever it might be. And sometimes we just bottle all that up and just don't want to say anything because we don't want to deal with the conflict. But there is a right way and an appropriate way where you can have the conversation and build each other up. You can do so if you're filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled speech is also balanced. You know, so many people are like, you know what, I'm going to go talk to Jill and I'm just going to whack her over the head with, like, that's not going to be helpful, Jill. How do you balance that? Speaking the truth in love, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, just I'll remind you what the gifts of the Holy Spirit is. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're being filled with the Spirit, your speech is going to be balanced with love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I would want someone to talk to me like that. That would be good. By the way, when it comes to kindness, I can tell you, am I going to turn 56 already? Somehow I woke up and I got older. I don't know how that happened. But in all my almost 56 years, I have never regretted a kind word. Ever. Even if the person wasn't kind back. Even if they didn't deserve the kindness. I've never regretted a kind word. But there's been once or twice or three times in my life where I've uttered a not kind word. And I can honestly tell you I've regretted it every time. That's why it's so important to let ourselves be filled with the Spirit, let God control what comes into our minds and out of our mouths. You will be blessed. The second concept that we're looking here is in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, is this one of speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So our spirit, our speech should be filled with song and scriptures. So it's a very, there's the sister book of Ephesians is Colossians. So we have Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. And Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to the Lord. You know, a spirit-filled life, like how do you get that and how do you get led and controlled by the Holy Spirit? Colossians 3:16 also gives us a hint there of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Letting the scriptures, what God has taught us, the light of his revelation, come into our hearts and minds so that the Holy Spirit can use that in what we do and say. Dwell in you richly. Again, with my grandfather, he was a tea drinker. I don't know if that had to do with the Great Depression or what. I'm not proud of that because I'm a coffee drinker. But he was a tea drinker. He drank tea. Any tea drinkers here? A few. Oh, well, bless you. I love you too. So you have to be careful about your speech. He was a tea drinker, and I remember one time we were eating breakfast, and I was watching him, and he put a couple of bags of Earl Grey into his hot water, and he waited a while because the water was boiling when he put it in there. I was just kind of interested in what he was doing. He put a spoon there, and he stirred it around. He put the spoon on top of the tea bags and put it into the cup so it would stay down there. I was interested in this process. Well, at the end, he didn't take the tea bags out. He just kind of left the spoon in there holding him down, and he drank his coffee or his tea. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The idea is steeping. So just think of that. Like you put the scriptures in your mind and heart. And don't just let them go in there and then fly out, right? You want to let that steep. You want to let it change you. You want to let it color the ability of your life to navigate. Don't just be like those people that just put the tea bag in there and just shake it around. It's like, okay, I just barely got it to change colors, and that was good enough. Let the word of Christ. So your speech can be influenced and filled. And if it is, what comes out of your mouth will also be related to the scriptures and blessed by the scriptures. And this idea of songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, those will be naturally flowing out of your life. Your life is full of the Spirit. One of my favorite hymns is In My Heart There Rings a Melody. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody than the melody of love. And then you know it. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. My dad couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but he would sing at the top of his voice in church, and we'd all giggle, but you could tell that he loved Jesus. What songs are coming out of your life? Well, if you're spirit-filled and you're letting the Word of God fill you, what comes out of your mouth should also be reflective of that. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Our speech should be filled with celebration, with thanksgiving. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even our Father. Part of our scripture reading this morning, it's funny how God does that. Funny, it's not funny weird, not funny haha, it's funny really cool. How God brings all of these things together. We read Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 was part of that. It says, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that God makes everything, that only good things will happen to us, but God works it all for our good. You know what that means? It means we can be thankful for everything. At some point, we may see how God has worked that in our lives. Sometimes we may not, but God says, be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. I remember, I guess it's now a couple of years ago, as my dad passed away and we all gathered for the funeral, and we were at the funeral home that early afternoon for the funeral. I thought to myself, and it's like, you know, it's a time of grief, and we were going to miss him, but we knew where he is now. And the verse that came to my mind at that time was this. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. yes, joy and mourning. I'm not downgrading the fact that we have sadness, but we could be thankful for my dad's life, for his legacy among us, and for the fact that he was not in pain anymore and with the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, you have the ability to be thankful. Rather than backbiting and devouring each other, you could be like, you know, Jill, I'm so thankful that you did all of the announcements and everything today because that really just let me focus on what I needed to do with the scriptures. As we interact with each other, we can be thankful for each other. And it's good to let people know that as well. And the last concept here about our speech is found in verse 21. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Our speech should be filled with submission. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The idea of submission, one of the easiest and cleanest definitions that I have learned is this. Allow each other to fulfill your God-given role and respect each other for the roles that you have. Sometimes when I'm at work, I have to be the boss. And so if my staff is submitting in a scriptural way, they would just be allowing me to be the boss. Sometimes that's what you have to do. And then sometimes if they have things that they're like, Nathan, I think we should do this, and it's part of their role to advise me, then I need to listen and be like, ooh, that sounds like a great idea. You've been trained and gifted to do that part of your job, and I'm going, you know, let's do that. We are allowing each other to fulfill each other's roles. Whether it be parents and children, congregants, you know, leaders, shepherds and sheep, everybody has a distinct role, and we should all be respected and allow each other to fulfill those roles. So as you're speaking to one another, you definitely need to allow that to be part of your speech. It's a difference between saying, I can really give John a piece of my mind, or I can speak to John as a valued member of my spiritual family. You can still communicate difficult things, but you can do it in a respectful and submissive way. You see the difference? So those are the concepts that I wanted to share with you all. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of your worship today. As I started out with, you know, Matthew 12:36, like everything that comes out of our mouth, God is here. He sees and knows. The tongue is a dangerous thing. And we're not called to keep our mouths shut. We're called to speak to one another, but God has given us principles that'll help us along the way. If we're filled with the Spirit, what comes out of our mouth will be controlled by the Spirit. If we're spending time in God's Word, that will also be a part of our lives and our speech, even filling our hearts with song. As we talk to one another, I think that the concept of thanksgiving and telling each other what we're thankful about is very important as well. And then just allowing God to show us what the roles of each one of our people are within our family. Kids speaking to parents, parents speaking to kids. And then within our congregation, older men and women speaking to younger and back and forth. Leaders and pastors and congregants and sheep, respecting each other as we go about what we say and do. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Guide us, Lord, and give us wisdom as we open our mouths each day. Lord, that our speech that comes out would be reflective of a life controlled by you, a life blessed by you, and a life that understands the roles which you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nathan. I'm pretty sure that Nathan is not aware of my family's current circumstances. But I really appreciated the sharing of the day of his dad's funeral, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Because right now, I know it's the day the Lord has made, but it's more of a, I will rejoice and be glad in it, as opposed to, I will rejoice, and I hope to reach that point soon. Now, if you would be so kind as to find hymn number 671 in your hymnals and stand, we will sing On Our Way Rejoicing together. Remain standing and turn to one another as we sing the blessing as we go out to this week together.